Get to Old Navy for Star Spangled Style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Mikio. Yesterday, there was a slew of central bank meetings around the world, and each central bank had cited the Brexit referendum as being potentially disruptive to the global economy. Now, is this the number one story driving markets right now? And how closely are you watching the Brexit referendum from a market perspective?
Good morning, Melissa. Yes, Brexit is an issue that is obviously roiling markets at this time. We took a slightly different attitude. We made a broad asset allocation decision recently. We've been avoiding the pound, even though we liked it on a purely economic basis. Britain has higher inflation and higher interest rates and higher growth than most other developed economies and their currencies for years now, and continues to do so despite this. And the pound was a bit undervalued against most of them, all of them actually, and yet we have avoided it. But as we come closer to the Brexit, some of these factors or the political factors that have been weighing on the pound are diminishing. And we thought from an asset allocation perspective, it's probably better to have an exposure to the pound. So we decided to go back into the pound again in our allocation. On a standalone basis, that may be a more difficult call to make. But on an asset allocation basis, when you have other assets in place that might do well if this goes wrong, maybe a bit risky. But we do think on a broader basis, it's probably okay to go back in. We do assume, however, that the British will say yes.
Okay, so the fact that you are going into the pound, Mikio, means you believe that Britain will remain in the EU. What is driving this confidence that the referendum will stay in the stay camp?
Well, I mean, that is more an assumption. Of course, we have no way to predict how people will vote. But as I said, one element is that a lot of the political negatives that have weighed on the pound are probably priced in that currency. And the other is that you see a disparity between, which is speculative, I admit, but you see a disparity between the opinion polls, which suggest a very close race. And on the other hand, you have the bookmakers' prediction website, as well as recent history in terms of the accuracy of these polls that speak in favor of our remain vote.
And yet, we see that global developed market bonds are continuing to rally. Yields are falling to the lowest in many, many months. In fact, the 10-year German bond yields went negative for the first time ever in Tuesday. What is this telling you? What does this imply for markets in general about the Brexit?
Well, I'm not sure whether that one is entirely or to what degree it is connected to the Brexit issue. It may play a role right now. However, more generally, the way that the bond markets are trading, especially the negative yield space, or more generally, the fact that yields are compressed, being compressed everywhere, has more to do with recent monetary policy. It has accelerated the trend towards more and more negative rate has accelerated with Japan's decision in January. That's why since then, we had a tripling of global bonds that trade with a negative yield. Most of them are Japanese, admittedly. That is basically a sign that for the time being, until as we stand today, monetary policy is basically still too tight. If monetary policy was loose enough and really aggressively easy, then we would see the market price in inflation in the further future. And that's not happening as yet.
I'll also like to get your thoughts on the Federal Reserve's FOMC meeting. They wrapped it up and then they gave the post-meeting statement, saying that they are likely to maybe see one rate hike for the rest of the year. How does that, was that in line with your expectations? Has that changed anything for you?
Well, In terms of the, you are referring to the dot plots.
The dot plots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that they did not raise interest rates at this point is not a surprise. That was in line with expectation. Their prediction, such a tougher call. We did not, look into that. We said, okay, we don't think they will do it now, but they're still on course, or most of them at least, still would like to raise whenever they can and whenever the markets are comfortable with that or more comfortable with that. And that's what happened. However, the real interesting thing is that we now have one major dissenter or a deviation. We don't know, of course, if it's a him or her, but someone who does not expect only one more rate increase to happen and then rates to stay unchanged for the next 2 years, which is quite interesting, as it's a divergent from where the mass is. It looks like the jury in a U.S. Court drama where only one guy of the jury thinks the accused is innocent. And for the moment, I would say, let's hope that this person can convince the rest, because it is probably true that the markets will be very uncomfortable with a Fed that is too hawkish. Let's see how that develops after the Brexit vote is out of the way, one way or another. But for the moment, it certainly seems that being too close to the too hawkish is not a good thing for markets.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. But let's staying in the U.S. now, if we were to look at the U.S. equity market, despite the recent pullback, U.S. equities have had an impressive rally recently. Are you liking U.S. equities, Mikio, or do you think that the rally doesn't have legs?
Well, I mean, we are agnostic on that. We can only observe what the markets are doing. And in that sense, we do like the U.S. quite a bit. At least in a relative sense, the U.S. If you look at the S&P 500, the fact is that it has been trading in a relatively narrow range, sort of slightly weaker trending, but for the past 2 years, it's been in a very tight range. So basically, what is happening is that the market is unsure, and that is of course not entirely surprising, because this is a transition phase in monetary policy, which is an important, potentially important transition. Now, the last time this has happened was in the mid-90s, in 1994 and 1995. Actually, it started in 93, and that was also a transition phase for the Fed, coming from a cycle of lowering interest rates and from much higher levels to relatively low levels, and then it started to shift and began to raise rates again in 94. And during that period, the equity market was basically very similar to the current one, going trading within a range for 2 years. People were worried, and then what we got is a very great bull market, as you know, the greatest bull market in the century, in fact, or one of the greatest at any rate. And that is a possibility going forward. I mean, it is possible that we'll get through this transition phase quite well. That other central banks will ease policy enough, or that the economy in the emerging market surprises us, in which case we'll get used to the new environment, and it'll be okay. But that is just an observation for the moment. We'd like to be, we are slightly overweight the U.S. It's certainly a lot better than the other markets at the moment, but let's say we have cautious optimism rather than outright optimism.
Thank you so much for your time. That was Mikio Kumada, Global Strategist at LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.